is VOA News via remote. I'm Diane Roberts. European countries have begun to close schools and cancel surgeries, going well beyond curbs on social life as overwhelmed authorities face their nightmare scenario of a COVID-19 resurgence right before the onset of winter. Most European nations eased lockdowns over the summer to start reviving economies, already heading for unprecedented downturns and job losses from the pandemic's first wave. But the return of normal activity from packed restaurants to new university terms fueled a sharply rising spike in cases all over the continent. The Czech Republic, which has Europe's worst rate per capita, has shifted schools to distance learning, and hospitals started cutting non-urgent medical procedures to free up beds. Bars, restaurants, and clubs have shut. In Belgium, with Europe's second worst infection rate per capita, hospitals now have to reserve a quarter of their beds for COVID-19 patients. Wednesday, the French government declared a public health state of emergency, giving officials greater powers to impose new measures to contain the spread of COVID-19. The government said in a statement, quote, "It justifies the declaration of a state of emergency so that measures can be adopted, which are strictly proportionate to the public health risks." The statement did not say what action the government would take, but the adoption of a state of emergency gives the authorities statutory powers to impose tough measures. Russia will resume flights to Japan, Cuba, and Serbia, the government said Wednesday. The government said it had authorized 2 flights a week to the Serbian capital, Belgrade, as well as 2 flights a week to 2 Cuban airports and 3 flights to Tokyo. This is VOA News. The fighting in a region that's been disputed by Armenia and Azerbaijan raises threats of a wider escalation, while attempts at dampening the deadly conflict appear unsuccessful. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma has more.
A Russian attempt to broker a ceasefire to end the worst outbreak of hostilities over the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh in more than a quarter century has failed to get any traction, with rivals Azerbaijan and Armenia trading blame for new attacks. The failure of the truce, that was supposed to begin Saturday, reflects the uncompromising position of the two South Caucasus nations that have stymied decades of diplomatic efforts. The escalation of fighting raises the spectre of a wider conflict that could draw in Russia and Turkey and threaten Caspian Sea energy exports. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Longtime foes Lebanon and Israel launched unprecedented talks Wednesday over their disputed sea border in a brief meeting, which the lead Lebanese negotiator described as, quote, the first step on a 1,000-mile journey. The talks were mediated by the United States, which has pushed for years for negotiations to resolve the argument over potentially gas-rich Mediterranean waters. 2 Lebanese military helicopters were seen bringing the delegation to the meeting. The Lebanese team was led by a military officer and the Israeli side by the Director General of its Energy Ministry. They broke up after barely an hour and agreed to meet again in 2 weeks. Officials in Afghanistan said Wednesday 2 military helicopters collided and crashed in the embattled southern Helmand province, killing at least 9 people on board. Separately, Taliban insurgents raided security outposts in other provinces and killed more than a dozen government forces. Provincial authorities in Helmand said 2 Russian-made Mi-17 helicopters were evacuating wounded soldiers when both went down in Nawa district Tuesday night. The U.S. Senate confirmation hearing for U.S. President Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett continues in Washington, D.C. The Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham lauded her as unashamedly pro-life, adding Barrett will score a win for conservative women.
This hearing to me is an opportunity to not punch through a glass ceiling, but a reinforced concrete barrier around conservative women. You're going to shatter that barrier. I have never been more proud of a nominee than I am of you.
This is the third of her 4-day Senate Judiciary Committee confirmation here from Washington. I'm Diane Thomas.